Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. You'll notice that you can contribute to the Legal Defense Fund under a new address. The mail goes to the Michael Savage, that's if a check, a money order, cash, Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. And God bless you for helping protect freedom of speech.
What a day in California! What a day for America! What a day for equality!
Well, Gavin Newsom, who I've called any twosome Newsom, is the worst kind of demagogue. He is actually more dangerous than an out and out fascist, because he appeals to the lowest common denominator while acting like a nice guy. Here is a man who has gone to the gutters, supported by the gay mafia from the day he entered politics. He is more dangerous than a murderer. Now, what I'm referring to is the fact that the gay mafia in California has overridden the people, shopped a ballot initiative, two of them actually, to Stalinist judges who passed the homosexual so-called marriage law. I'm going to read you from Marcus Tullius Cicero, Roman orator, 42 B.C., and you'll see where you stand politically and historically. Cicero wrote this. He said, "A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself." And Gavin, this is for you. "For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear." That is who I am referring to. Now play clip two.
"As California goes, so goes the rest of the nation. It's inevitable. This door is
wide
open."
Hold on, Gavin. Many people think California is going to hell and the rest of the nation's not going to follow. In fact, the homosexual mafia has tried to impose the homosexual agenda in 16 states. 16 states voted on it. 16 states said no. You may think that you won, but you didn't win. In fact, you just destroyed your political career. Because I can guarantee you that when the state ballot initiative appears again in November and the people overwhelmingly say no, it will nullify the few Stalinist judges that you were able to buy off. Play the rest of clip two.
"Inevitable. This door is wide open now. It's going to happen, whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not." Hold on. You know, this is disgusting. Here is a man who says to the people of the state of California who have gone to the polls, voted fairly and squarely, not with a gun, but with a ballot. They've done it the fair way, the honest way. We well know that Gavin Newsom wouldn't be anywhere. He'd be running a bad restaurant if it wasn't for the gay mafia. So here he is, any twosome Newsom, running a city with the worst homicide rate in its history, with the biggest bum problem in its history, with dirty and filthy streets, with a budget deficit. And here he's celebrating counterfeit marriage. Now, Gavin Newsom is not gay. He's a heterosexual white Christian male. Well, let's take out the Christian. I don't want to assign anything to him that he may be ashamed of. He's a heterosexual white male. But here he is appealing to the lowest common denominator in the city and in the state. I'm going to ask you a few questions. I know many of you agree with me and some of you sickos don't. One, name one healthy aspect of homosexuality. Did you hear what I just said? Name one healthy aspect of homosexuality that makes it worthy of teaching to our children. Two, describe why every state in the union that held a direct vote voted down homosexual marriage. Three, name one civilization run by homosexuals or which embraced homosexuality as a norm that excelled and survived. Four, why did society once criminalize sodomy? And I'll give you a few other questions as we come back on the program. But let me dig into the actual illegality of what these vermin did on the California Supreme Court. These rotten, stinking Stalinist judges, frankly, should be thrown in prison for stealing the votes of 6 million Californians. It is enough, damn it! You stole our votes on the illegal aliens, you rotten, stinking four ACLU vermin. Let me tell you something. You ought to be glad I have no power. You ought to be glad I'm only a talk show host. I would take you out in handcuffs right now. I rub your face in the asphalt, and I throw you in prison because you're much more dangerous than our enemies. You think you have more power than the people? You rotten, stinking little worms. You are the lowest of the low, you four. You stink, and everybody in the state knows it. We know you're bought off by the homosexual mafia. Don't give us the double talk about the Constitution. You know you violated the Constitution. We the people are the Constitution. You're nothing but stinking lawyers who cheated your way to the top of the California legal profession. You bought your way into those seats. You bought it, you kissed behinds, and you know what you are. You're lower than a prostitute on Ellis Street. A prostitute, a hooker on Ellis Street, has more dignity than you do in your rotten, stinking black robes. And let me tell you something else. This ain't over yet. This has just begun. Because when we, the people, vote in November, you're going to be thrown out of office. We're going to put a ballot initiative on the platform after this to throw you four rats back into the pit that you came from. Go back to your stinking trial lawyers. That's where you belong. Go back into the cesspools that you crawled out of, you four rotten Stalinist vermin, you. You are nothing but ambulance chasers. You're going to end up as ambulance chasers. We, the people, will not take this. There's a point at which we'll snap, and I've snapped. I've had enough of this. We have no leaders. We have the people. We, the people, have the power. We have voted on this because four stinking, rotten ACLU ambulance chasers who bought their way into a black robe said the people should drop dead. That's the law. That's what your grandfather died for? That's what your great-grandfather died for? So two guys in the Castro district can make a mockery of marriage? So two perverted women can make a mockery of marriage and twist your children's minds? No, 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 no. This is not a great day. This is only the first day in a very long battle. And let me tell you something else. We are not going to be the second state in the land that has ruled that this perversion shall be codified in the law. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what's exactly going to happen. This little celebration will be very, very short-lived. Why? Because the four Stalinist judges who decided this will be overturned in November when we, the people in California, will vote on a state constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriages. As of now, conservative religious organizations have submitted more than 1.1 million signatures on initiative petitions. And right now, the homosexual mafia is trying to disqualify the signatures. Let them try. We'll put them in jail. Now, if this measure and when this measure qualifies for the ballot, and when we, the voters, approve of it, it will actually override today's ruling by these four ambulance-chasing bums. Did you hear what I just said? Let me tell you something else. The decision will, in fact, ignite the electorate in California to go out and vote. They understand how dangerously close the state is to pure anarchy. When you permit four rotten, stinking ambulance chasers who bought their way in and butt-kissed their way up to the state Supreme Court like this to basically override the Constitution, that's fundamentally what it is. What is the Constitution? Everyone says they know what the Constitution is. The Constitution is the legitimate vote in a ballot box. Now, the vermin who said that what they're doing here has nothing to do with gays. It has to do with the Constitution. Of course, they're lying. The fact of the matter is our democratic system was founded on the notion that the courts should not override the will of the people. Democracy means the majority will. That's what democracy means. Don't let these rats confuse you. And don't let them twist your mind and say,
well, you know, once blacks weren't allowed to marry whites, and that wasn't unconstitutional, that ought to be overturned.
What an insult it is to black people to compare a race to a choice of behavior that every society on earth has rejected as wholesome for the survival of the society. Let's put it in very polite terms. So the fact of the matter is this is going to go down in flames, and that's what's going to happen in November. The black robes have trashed traditional marriage, says WorldNet Daily. My headline is much clearer. Gay mafia overrides the people. Stalinist judges pass homosexual marriage law. But now let's dig into the actual realities of this situation and see where the law really stands. One of the justices, there were seven, four of the Stalinists, the ambulance chasers, the left-wingers, voted because they were owned by the gay mafia. But in a dissenting opinion, Justice Marvin Baxter agreed with many arguments of the majority, but said that the court overstepped its authority. He said that changes to marriage laws should be decided by the voters. Did you hear what I said? Changes to the marriage law should be decided by the voters. Now, this has been voted on before by the people, not by four ambulance-chasing low-life judges, because in the ballot box in 2000, there was a ballot measure on this, and the legislature enacted the first of a series of laws espousing giving spousal rights to domestic partners. Not only that, there's a proposition in this state called 22, which strengthened the state's 1978 one-man, one-woman marriage law with the words, only marriage between a man and a woman is valid or recognized in California. It passed by an overwhelming majority, 61-39% of the vote. So the fact of the matter is, once again, the gay mafia has shopped this to judges that they obviously own. Far left ACLU judges out of step not only with the country but with the world. And they have trashed marriage to confuse your children in order to enlist your children into their brigade of useful victims. The phone number here, and I know many of you are going to want to talk about this at the Savage Nation, is 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-8255. The California Supreme Court, as we well know, was a seven-person court. Four of them, the lowest of the low, the kind that you all met and knew in high school, the kind of kid who cheated on tests, in my opinion, the kind of kid who stepped on your arch in the schoolyard and then screamed to the teacher. That's the kind of judges these are. They have no dignity whatsoever. And I have to go back to the fundamentals here. Cicero said, for the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their arguments. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. The Romans knew what a traitor was. We know what a traitor is. The problem is we have a government of the judges, by the judges, and for the judges. They can be bought for less money than a high-priced prostitute. I'll be right back.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
This day is about real people and their lives. This day is about people being able to live their lives out loud.
Shut up. Get him off my show. Gavin Newsom is the worst kind of demagogue. He appeals to the lowest common denominator. He goes into the gutter to spit in the face of the people of California. It defies logic. It is a slap in the face to every law of the land. The people of the state of California decided 8 years ago that marriage in our state will be defined as between one man and one woman. To have this arrogant mayor, this out-of-touch, screwed-up mayor, and his four arrogant, elitist, activist judges tell the people to drop dead is a disgrace, and it's also illegal. It is well, I'm not going to say what I really mean. I'm going to leave it at that. We all know that same-sex marriage is an oxymoron. We all know that same-sex marriage is counterfeit marriage. We also know that by using children as guinea pigs in radical social experimentation is deplorable and very dangerous for the children's mentality. And the fact of the matter is this will be overthrown. Let's take the callers on the Savage Nation. Denise, Kansas City, Missouri, go ahead, please.
I've never heard you be so hateful and
yeah, I know. I've heard the malarkey before. To me, more hateful than what I'm saying is a bunch of low-life gutter rats stealing the votes of the people, a vote that is sacred, that people died for. Don't give me your malarkey about hate talk. I've heard it all my life. Every time I stand up to you left-wing rats, you call it hate talk. You're the haters. You're a bunch of boll weevils. Whenever we the people vote, you steal a vote from us. You call that love?
It's just like you do, Dr. Savage.
Okay, what's your point? You love gay marriage? Is that all you got to say?
My point is, why are you being so hateful towards gay marriage?
Why don't you talk about homosexual marriage instead of talking about me? Make it bigger than me. Go ahead. Tell me why you support homosexual marriage.
Because I'm homosexual and I'm...
So what? I don't care if you are. So if a person's a homicidal maniac, should I support homicide?
No, you shouldn't, but you are at the...
Well, let me ask you something, Denise. Should polygamy also be legal now that homosexual marriage is legal? Should polygamy also be legal?
No, it shouldn't.
What do you mean, no, it shouldn't? Why should you deny polygamists their rights to their self-choice, to their self-determination? How dare you be so conservative?
Well, how dare you be so hateful?
Look, you're a moron, okay? I don't care if you're gay or straight. You have a very low mentality. You tell me that you don't believe polygamy should be legal, but you believe homosexual marriage should be? Why are you restricting another person's right to determine their own sexuality?
All I'm saying is
All I'm saying is that you want to limit it to your particular lusts. That's what you're saying. But the other person's lusts don't matter. But moreover, you don't even understand the law. These four judges overrode the people of the state of California, sister. Have a nice afternoon. Have a real nice afternoon. Again, if you have something intelligent to say, call me at 1-800-449-8255. If you have something unintelligent to say, then go scream with the mobs in the gutters of San Francisco. Let them have their little celebrations until November when it's thrown out. The fact of the matter is, there were many, many, many times that this has been discussed, and every time the people of the state decided that marriage is defined as between one man and one woman. To have four arrogant, elitist, ambulance-chasing judges decide that they know better than the people how marriage should be defined is not only an outrage, they should be thrown out of office. Every one of them should be recalled. It is more than disappointing. This is a total lack of respect for the U.S. Constitution.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
As a Catholic that is not allowed the Eucharist, I can still talk to my Catholic faith.
Get off my show. You can't talk to any faith. You have faith only to your own image in a mirror. You're the ultimate narcissist, Gavin. You're not alone in that, but you belong in Hollywood, not in a mayor's position. But let's put him aside. He'll be forgotten on the dustbin of history, I can guarantee you. We are talking about one of the great travesties of America, which is the usurping of the votes of 6 or 7 million people, thrown out by four radical left-wing activist judges. They are no better than the ambulance chaser in your town, the type of vermin who break hospitals, the type of vermin who put doctors out of business. Now they're trying to put the institution of marriage out of business. They're as low as they come. Remember this. There's God's law, there's natural law, and then there's temporal law. You're living in a time where you think that temporal law passed by a bunch of low-life ambulance chasers, left-wingers at that, can supersede natural law, can supersede God's law. I will tell you, you are wrong. And I'm going to open up four lines right now. I want one Jewish person, one Muslim person, one Christian person, one Buddhist person, and one more. I want one Hindu person to get on this show on the Savage Nation and tell the world, the Savage Nation, why it is your culture has opposed homosexuality from the beginning. What is it in your religion that opposes homosexuality, and why do you think that the originators of your religion and the millennia that have passed have upheld this condemnation of homosexuality? Now, to go this last step and to say that homosexuality is equal to heterosexuality defies logic, because we know that it's a natural impossibility. They may think that it is not, and that shows that their minds are warped. It shows you that their minds are warped. It's one thing to engage in this behavior. It's another thing to say to everybody else, now not only do we engage in this behavior, but we're going to tell you that our behavior is equal to your behavior. It's normal. No, it is not. You will never be accepted as normal, except in San Francisco and Austin, Texas, and perhaps in regions of Boston and small pockets here and there. The majority of people in America have voted on this, and they've said no to it. They don't want you to be hurt. They may not like what you do. They may find it disgusting. They're not stupid. They understand that AIDS didn't come out of the air. They understand that you people suffer from an inordinate amount of diseases because of the so-called lifestyle you practice. And they know they don't want their children to follow it. Moreover, what logic do you need to follow to understand that a society dies that follows homosexuality as its norm? What's missing in your thinking to understand that? That you start brainwashing children that they should be trisexual, bisexual, this sexual, that sexual. What do you think is going to happen to the society? Answer, what's happening to ours, only more so. Now, here's the good news. There are three major issues for the white voter: God, guns, and gays. The gay issue has been out of the quotient because it has not been discussed. You'll notice that none of the three Bobbsey twins, the Bobbsey triplets, running for office have really touched on the homosexual issue. They didn't have to, because the gays were told to be hush and be quiet till the election is over. But some of the more activist homosexuals couldn't keep their mouths shut, and they had to push the Supreme Court to this disaster for Obama and this disaster for Hillary. Now, I say that with a caveat, because now that the homosexual issue will become front and center in this presidential election, this homosexual marriage ruling is going to create a huge Republican turnout in the November presidential election, and it will sweep Obama back to the backwards of Chicago, where he came from, and it will send Hillary back to Arkansas, where she came from, with one caveat. That's if this fraudulent Pinko McCain understands how to seize the moment and seizes the moment and carries the standard for the God-fearing American people who do not want homosexual marriage legitimized. Now, they all say they oppose gay marriage, by the way. All three of them are on record saying they oppose it because they know that there are three very important issues: God, guns, and gays. So they all say it. But we know in our heart of hearts that Obama will legalize homosexual marriage as sure as we're sitting here. We know that Hillary will probably do it after the second year because Emily's List and a group of other radical feminists have been behind it from the beginning. With McCain, though, it's still out to up for grabs. We don't know how deeply enmeshed he is with the homosexual mob. We don't know whether they got to him yet. My guess is yes. But again, if McCain can support traditional family values and traditional marriage in a nice way and play Mr. Middle of the Road and say he would oppose it, he would never permit it in his tenure as a president if it were ever passed, he would override it by executive order, that's it, he wins. I doubt that he has the guts or the brains to do that. So again, I want to go back now to the religion. I have asked you, I've challenged you to give me one healthy aspect of homosexuality. One. Give me one healthy aspect of homosexuality. I know that that's a shock to gays listening to the show. But I'm sorry to tell you, I don't think there's an answer to that question that's in the affirmative. That doesn't mean that that's going to change your mind. Many people eat foods that are bad for them or drink alcohol, which they know is bad for them. We understand that people do what's not necessarily good for them, and I understand that as well. I'm a human being. However, I have told you before, although I am a sexual libertarian, which means do as you will as long as you don't bother me, and do as you will as you don't bother the children, I really don't care what you do. If you want to destroy your soul and your mind any way you want, it's your business. In that sense, it's not the government's business. However, when you affect the children of the nation by twisting their minds like this, into distorting their reality like this, then you've crossed the line. And that's why we're going to fight you to the end. We're going to fight you once and for all, and you're going to lose. WOR New York, Rahul, you're a Hindu. You're calling the show. Go ahead, please. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
I ask for a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Christian, a Jew, and a Muslim to call the show. So far, you're the only person identifying yourself with a religious identity as a Hindu. Tell me your opinion on this issue.
Well, I think it's absolutely absurd. You know, like, I've never agreed to the, you know, the homosexuality and everything, and I completely agree with you on this. Because as a religion, as a being a Hindu, or any of the being, the, you know, spirituality and religious point of view, Hinduism totally opposes this, and I think even, you know, it's not even human. It's like even animals, if you see, they are not indulged in this whole thing. And
let me ask you something. This is an interesting call for a number of reasons, and the most important reason to me is that many gays and gay activists and their liberal fellow travelers will tell you that this is all a result of puritanical Christianity, and the Christians oppose homosexuality because of those nasty Jews in the Old Testament. But the fact of the matter is, Hinduism, which is totally different than Judaism or Christianity, not even based on the same Abrahamic tradition, it is based on an entire different set of beliefs than Judaism or Christianity or Islam. And yet you also have it codified in your religion as something that humankind should not engage in. And what's interesting to me is Hinduism goes, the Indian people in particular, have gone back. If you look at the sculptings in the Kama Sutra, for example, or the hieroglyphics of the various sexual acts, you're not a sexually repressed people, are you?
Absolutely not.
No. The Hindu people are sexually liberated, as a matter of fact. They have no hang-ups, as far as I can tell. None. Yet when it comes to homosexuality, the door is closed. So why is it that with a sexually liberated religion such as Hinduism, and this is groundbreaking what we're talking about, because it'll throw out the window all of the false arguments that it's Christianity based upon Old Testament nonsense. That's rubbish. Every religion on earth says no to homosexuality. Rahul, there's common sense to this. Why? Why?
It's absolutely common sense because, you know, as I told you, like, I'm very open-minded. I have lived here in U.S. for a long time, and I totally disagree with the people who think Christianity, because I've seen many Catholics. You know, I went to a Catholic school, and I totally have seen them totally straight. I mean, it's absolutely insane if anyone has the belief or an argument saying that homosexuality and being gay is a choice. I mean, it's just, like, even Hinduism believes that a man or a woman is complete with the association of each other. You are not complete till you're born with the man or the woman. So,
all right, yes. And if you look at the cultures, you can look at the Chinese symbol for yin and yang, the black and the white half pieces fitting together in a whole. Judaism believes that man is not complete until he's reunited with the part of him that was removed by God in the creation of a woman, if you want to go back to the myth of Adam's rib, which I've once read. But it doesn't make the woman simply a part of a man. It makes the man incomplete without the woman, and it gives the woman enormous power and her ability to complete the man. And we have to reteach these things. Isn't it sad, Rahul, that we've collapsed as a civilization to this extent that America has no leadership, and that you have to listen to a radio show to get the reality of your own religious upbringing? Otherwise, you're going to live in a nightmare land, because the media, as you well know, is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the very same mentality that these four stinking judges belong to. Let's go now to San Diego, California, the other side of the country on the Savage Nation. Suhail, welcome to the Savage Nation. I hope I did not mispronounce your name. Please tell us how your name is pronounced.
No, you did a good job. My name is Suhail. I'm from San Diego, and I really appreciate you taking my phone call. You know, I'm sick and tired of this issue of homosexuality and men marrying women and, you know, women marrying women. Myself, I'm a Muslim, and I came here in 97. I was born and raised in Jerusalem, Palestine. I had Jewish friends. I had Christian friends. And I was born and raised in the old quarter of Jerusalem, which is like Jerusalem downtown. I'm not a spokesman for any religion, but I tell you this, from my interaction with the Christians and Jews, we all agree with you on this issue. And I came here 10 years ago, and I'm a citizen. This is my first time I get to vote, because I became a citizen last year. And to be honest with you, I am torn apart. I feel like I'm in two halves. Socially, I'm a Republican. And politically, I'm a Democrat, and that's why I'm not going to vote. I'm sick and tired of those social agenda that the Democrats promote throughout the media to the United public.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So you're saying from the you're on the side of the Democrats because of the issue with Palestine and Palestinian rights, and I can understand where you're coming from if you're a Palestinian. That's your right to believe that way. But you're saying if you go along with the far-left agenda on that, then you have to take the gay marriage along with it. What would you like to talk about? K&EW, Joel, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm not sure you're even aware of yourself, how much God is using you. You spoke earlier about, give me a name of a nation, a culture, an empire, to that effect, that has ever survived or done well with this homosexual agenda. Ancient Israel knew the problems that this caused. They called for the death penalty for homosexuality. And what's sad is in the... I'm a minister, an ordained minister, Christian minister, and even in our quote-unquote Christian churches, we have, I would say, a 98% rate of people that will tell you, oh, yes, we're against homosexuality, but they can't tell you why. They don't know what the Bible teaches. There's a jewel that's never come up yet in any of the discussions on this subject, on your station, anyone else's, to my knowledge, and that is that everyone has libido. Nobody's born with this. We all have libido. It's a choice people make. And we find in the New Testament, not the Old, but the New Testament, in the last half of Romans chapter 1, where homosexuality comes from. And the Bible says in that chapter, Romans chapter 1, it comes from people who don't retain God in their knowledge. And then it says, God turns them over to a reprobate mind defined as beyond redemption. And God says in the Bible he will forgive any sin except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament says that homosexuality is an abomination and blasphemy. We find out then that blasphemy is unforgivable, the Bible says, either in this life or in the life to come.
And the we understand the biblical prohibitions. I'm aware of that. But the question really is, why has the society come to this point? And my answer is really very straightforward. It's because the religious people have withdrawn from the political domain. Mark, WOR New York, welcome to the program. How do you feel about the homosexual marriage proposition being overturned today by four judges?
Yes, Dr. Savage, first of all, I've been a practicing Buddhist for 25 years, and the Hollywood liberal wackos that practice Buddhism do not really understand the true facts and base behind Buddhism. First, you have the Dalai Lama and the Panchen Lama, who are both spiritual and political leaders of Tibet. The Dalai Lama in exile, the Panchen Lama, which was put in...
Oh, wait, Mark, irrespective of these men, I'm talking about the tractates of Buddhism themselves. I don't know much about them. I've read them for years, as I've read many of the world's religions. I'm convinced homosexuality is banned by the sutras. Am I correct?
Homosexuality is banned by the sutras, and it is banned by the Lam Rim, which was written by Buddha Atisha over 5,000 years ago.
All right, so let's pause. Here you are, an enlightened progressive man in a so-called enlightened progressive religion of Buddhism, which many liberals think is something other than what it is. They interpret it to be what they want it to be, as you well know, which is why they love it. And you and I both know that the sutras ban homosexuality. Why is it that the ancients in Buddhism said homosexuality was prohibited? What's the reason for that?
Because it is an unnatural act. It defies the natural nature of order of things, of man, woman, female, male. There are female and male...
Now, isn't it true that the libs have tried to tell us about yin and yang for the last 35, 40 years, when yin and yang means man and woman?
Absolutely true.
I mean, you know, sometimes the most commonsensical statements that I make are forgotten completely. For years, they've lectured everyone that they're not Christian, they're lapsed Catholics or lapsed Jews, and they've discovered the wonders of Buddhism. Well, one of the tenets that they discovered is about the yin-yang, the balance, the harmony. And, of course, what that means is man and woman. How much more complicated does it get than that? But, you know, Mark... You've probably thought about these things as much as I. You know it goes way beyond gays wanting to marry. You know that the homosexual lifestyle is not about commitment. You know that and I know that. It's a lifestyle of partner hopping. Just take a look at the West Los Angeles. Take a look outside the clubs in San Francisco. And you understand and I understand, no matter what they say and no matter how loudly the homosexuals may scream, it's not about commitment. It's about lewd and frequent sex with as many people as they can get their hands on. That's what the whole community is about. To the 99th percentile, that's true. There may be a small percent within the gay community that wants to marry, but the majority wants a hedonistic lifestyle with as many partners as possible. Yes or no? Do you agree with me?
I agree with you, Dr. Seth.
All right, so if the majority of homosexuals could care less about marriage, why do you suppose it's become such an important political issue for that community?
It's become such an important political issue because they want to... They want to expunge their beliefs on other people. They want to draw people into that lifestyle. And that lifestyle is absolutely wrong.
There's a perspective of one man on Buddhism. I'm sure there are other opinions. I'd like to hear yours.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
What a day in California! What a day for America! What a day for equality!
I'll turn it off. So Newsom, any twosome Newsom, is the worst kind of demagogue, appealing to the lowest common denominator in society, not the highest. And in fact, he is more dangerous than a murderer, according to Cicero, which I've read to you. But I've also asked members of various religions to call and express their position on both homosexuality and so-called gay marriage, which, of course, is an oxymoron. It cannot exist. Gay marriage can't exist by definition. It's a mental jujitsu to create the words gay marriage. It doesn't exist. It's impossible. The word marriage has one meaning. It means man and woman. It doesn't mean man and man or woman and woman. But you see, let me put it to you the way Blake, the 19th century poet, put it. The eye that alters, alters all. And I'll leave it at that. Once an eye starts to alter itself, everything it sees is altered. And so therefore, it needs to now take the society as a whole, the looking glass, and say to the mirror, rather, and say to the society, how dare you look at us as though we are weird, or we are different, or we're not equal to you. We're going to force you to accept us as equal to you, no matter what kind of behavior we engage in, no matter whether it violates natural law or God's law. We'll do what we want, and we'll force you to acknowledge that. And that's why they want you, the mirror, to conform to their twisted view of reality. But it gets even worse. They then will eventually turn the looking glass inside out, and eventually they will declare heterosexuality something less than normal and something less than to be desired.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. You'll notice that you can contribute to the Legal Defense Fund under a new address. The mail goes to the Michael Savage, that's if a check, a money order, cash. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. And God bless you for helping protect freedom of speech.
Savage.
Let's go to New York City. Jonathan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. I'm glad that you've taken my call, and I'm glad that you're discussing the California Supreme Court decision, but I think that your opinion is wrong. You keep on harping on the fact that the judges are activists, but I'm curious what you perceive to be the proper role of the judiciary. The fact of the matter is that the founding fathers...
Well, you asked me a question. You're not letting me answer it. You're coming with a whole speech. You ask me what the proper role of the judiciary is? I'll be glad to answer you. I mean, have you heard of a democratic process?
Yes.
So when the people vote, their vote should be nullified by activist judges, and you call that the proper role of the judiciary?
No, but the role of the judiciary is to check the democratic process. That's why the founding fathers gave justice.
Well, yes, that's true when there is an excess. And as Justice Carol Corrigan stated in her dissent, she said she actually believes that gays should be allowed to marry. But she says that a majority of Californians hold a different view and have explicitly said so by their vote. And listen to this. She said a court can overrule a vote of the people only if the Constitution compels us to do so. And she says, here the Constitution does not, therefore I must dissent. Now, that's a justice who can put aside her own beliefs for the sake of the majority opinion and for the sake of the democracy itself.
The four justices who were in the majority believe that the Constitution did allow for homosexuals to have the right to marry.
They're totally wrong, because the ballot initiative that was the law of the state of California had already passed constitutional muster, or it wouldn't have gotten on the ballot. It had gone through many, many steps in order to be qualified for the ballot, and they know it.
Right, but if you'll recall, many years ago, interracial marriage was against the law.
Well, now you're changing it again to blacks. Now drag in the blacks again and insult all black people and tell them that they're exactly the same as gay people. They don't like that, by the way, Jonathan.
The judiciary was the one who stepped in and protected the rights of minorities there and said that...
Yes, that's correct. That's because the denial of the vote for blacks was a violation of the Constitution.
But the denial of marriage for blacks was also a violation of the Constitution, as is the denial of marriage for homosexuals. And if the judiciary isn't the proper authority to protect the rights of minorities, then I ask you, who is?
Who is? The people are. For the majority of the court, four people to steal the votes of at least 4 million people infringes on the voters by overriding the decision of the voters. You're assuming that all voters are racist and homophobes to say the things you're saying. You're assuming that the people of the state are racist and homophobic. And I think that that's quite derogatory. I think your thinking is what's wrong here.
I'm assuming no such thing. I ask you then,
Should the will of the people be altered for that of 1% of the population?
Absolutely. Isn't that the same thing that happened when the Supreme Court upheld the right for interracial marriage?
No, it is not exactly the same thing. Not at all. It is not at all. You're making comparisons that don't have any balance to them.
Didn't that also overrule?
You see, what you're not catching here is that there's several laws in the state of California that deal with gay marriage. The people actually voted on this. The issue of interracial marriage had never been voted upon, and it was a violation of constitutional rights for black people to deny them interracial marriage. I agree with you on that. But this had been voted on. It had already passed constitutional muster. And so now you have four justices stepping on the Constitution itself by declaring that they alone shall determine what is constitutional. And that is why the dissent was very clear. It says the majority on the court forecloses this ordinary democratic process and in doing so oversteps its authority.
I know what you're saying.
And another justice, Marvin Baxter, said that the court, not satisfied with the pace of democratic change, now abruptly forestalls that process and substitutes by judicial fiat its own social policy views for those expressed by the people themselves. Those are strong words, Jonathan.
Listen to what you're saying. What you just said is, by virtue of the fact that it was voted upon and passed, it's de facto constitutional. By that logic, there's the judiciary.
No, I didn't say that. You purposely didn't hear me. In order for this ballot initiative to have been voted upon, it first had to qualify for the ballot. It had to go through a rigorous constitutional analysis by numerous legal scholars, or it never would have made it to the ballot process. And the reason for that is to prevent someone from putting a ballot initiative up, that would violate the constitutional rights of the American people.
Right, but the fact that legal scholars deemed it to be constitutional doesn't make it constitutional. The Supreme Court...
Oh, no. What makes it constitutional is the people that the gay mafia own. And so they're the only arbiters of what's constitutional.
Who's the only arbiters of what's constitutional?
The people you like. The people who gave you what you wanted. You're now saying they're the ultimate authority because they gave you what you wanted. But they, in fact, spit in the face of millions of voters who said, we don't want gay marriage for these reasons. We think it's a travesty, number one. And number two, we think it's a bad thing to send our children the signal that they should marry their boyfriends if they're a boy and marry their girlfriend if they're a girl. We don't want our children being told that. There's a reason people have voted it down in 11 to 12 states. You think everybody's a bigot?
Why don't we want our children to be told that?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that, Jonathan.
Why don't we want our children to be told that they can marry their boyfriends or they can marry their girlfriends, they can marry...
So, look, obviously you can't understand what I'm saying to you. Are you of the opinion that two men who get married are entering the same sanctity as a man and a woman who get married to have children?
Absolutely.
Well, then your mind is warped. Your mind has been warped by your community. That it's not enough that you engage in a behavior that most people find abominable, but now you want to impose that behavior as the norm on society itself. That's an abomination unto itself, that kind of thinking, to most Americans, Jonathan. But when, you're not living in most of America. You're living in your own bubble, your own community, as are the judges. And they're shocking America with their activism.
They're simply defending the rights of a minority group.
Well, look, I don't need to run the argument into the ground and make you feel bad or have you make me feel bad. We disagree totally on this issue. And the issue right now is not even about gay marriage. The issue is about four judges throwing out the votes of over 4 million people. That's the issue. And it's not just votes out of the blue. It's votes that passed voting on an issue that had passed constitutional muster. Jonathan, let me put it to you another way, and maybe you can understand the seriousness of this, putting aside the gay marriage issue itself for the moment for the bigger legal precedent. And I've told the story several times, and I think you're a reasonable man who I probably could get along with in real life. I don't really know as a person. I'll say it again. I don't know if you heard me say it yesterday and say it today. Hitler came to power through the electoral process. He won by a slim majority, 31, 32, 33% of the vote. Shortly after he won, he no longer went to the people for any of the racist laws that were passed in Germany. Instead, he said it was all legal because he went to the judges. He put the judges in place that he wanted. And so he started to pass racial purity laws that he wanted, such as the first one was, by the way, rather innocuous. I believe it was the first racial purity law of Germany. And it said that Jews shall not swim in the same pool as Aryans. He didn't go to the German people and ask them to vote on that. He didn't say to the German people, let's have a referendum on whether Jews shall swim with the Germans. He went to judges who he put in place and said, the law is Jews shall not swim with Aryans. And he picked the judges. He handpicked them. So although you may be celebrating today because the judges overrode the people and they are in favor of your viewpoint, you are now entering a dangerous area because 10 years from now, there could be a right-wing revolution in this country where by judicial fiat, not only could gay marriage be made illegal, but homosexuality can be made illegal, sodomy can be made illegal. Would you want that to happen because four crackpot judges said that?
But, Mike, that's a terrible analogy because...
Well, why? Because you don't agree with it? It's
no.
A brilliant analogy. It's a brilliant analogy to someone whose mind is not altered by his own bias. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Frankly, the gay community should understand that I'm their best friend in the sense that I'm the only one willing to even discuss the issues. They have nullified everyone else in the media to the point that they don't even have a rational discussion, nor where they may be going. And I'm telling you that this is a very dangerous precedent because 20 years, 10 years, 5 years from now, whatever, it could be the very opposite where right-wing judges, so to speak, far-right judges, ultra-right judges, declare homosexuality or sodomy not only illegal but a felony. And suddenly hundreds of thousands of people are arrested and interned, all because four judges overrule three judges. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? Don't celebrate so fast this travesty of justice. That's the whole point I'm trying to make, and it's a very big one. It's irrespective of whether or not I agree with gay marriage, which I don't agree with. That's a separate issue. I'm in addition to not agreeing with gay marriage, I more vociferously am offended by four activist judges throwing out the votes of 4 million or more voters. Just as I was, by the way, years ago when I started in radio, there was a Proposition 187. It was passed by the will of the voters of the state of California. It passed muster, and it said that no state funds shall be spent on education or medication for illegal aliens. It was passed by the voters. One rotten, stinking judge threw it out. Her husband was the head of the ACLU in Southern California. They own the courts in this state. Unfortunately, this state is not alone in that. It is a communist tyranny, a socialist tyranny, whichever way you want to put it. Either way, it's a tyranny. Tyranny means the people have no voice in their own rule, in their own government. Tyranny means the people have no voice whatsoever in their daily affairs. That's tyranny. And it makes people very angry. It makes them disconnected from government. And it makes them resent government. And it starts to brew and steep into something worse. That's called bad government. You don't make people angry on a daily basis. You don't slap them in the face every day with another ruling that goes against their morality or goes against their church teachings or goes against their basic beliefs. You don't do that on a daily basis without making the entire electorate hate the government. Don't you understand that? That's irrespective of the issue itself. These are very important points. And moreover, and I'll repeat it, here is one of the most important shocks to hit the system in months, and it's not on the Fix News Network, not covered by the Gulf of the Leprechaun or Wallbanger. Why? Why are they afraid of and intimidated by this community? Why is this community so vociferous in its control of what people can or cannot say about the community and their issues? Why is that issue above that community above the law of the media? Why is the media so afraid of them? And you should be very afraid that one community has so much power over the media, that I alone, in the national media, am the only one who will discuss it in a clear way, expressing my beliefs and telling you why I believe A, gay marriage is wrong, and B, the ruling is an unconstitutional ruling. You don't have to hate me for that. You probably do if you're on the other side of it. You should thank me for it. You should thank me for having the guts to stand up and tell you what most people think, because otherwise you'll never hear it. And I've said it to you 1,000 times. I'll say it again over my 15-year career. I am like the uncle that you once had in your family. I am the uncle who came to that family dinner. You'd argue with him through the whole dinner. And then you couldn't wait for him to leave. But by the time Tuesday or Wednesday rolled around, you couldn't wait for the next Sunday dinner. You couldn't wait to hear your uncle again. Because at least you had someone who told it like it was from his point of view. He told you what he thought. He didn't mince words. He wasn't polite. Now, isn't that valuable in a democracy to have somebody who is impolite in a discussion? And I will remind you of something else. The First Amendment, my friends, was not passed to protect polite speech. It was passed to protect impolite speech, speech that offends. That was the whole reason the Founding Fathers put a First Amendment into the Bill of Rights. It was to protect unpopular, offensive speech. You don't need such a bill in China. Because if the government disagrees with you, you disappear and your kidneys are removed. And they wind up going to someone in Chicago, more or less. Political dissidents have their kidneys removed in China on a too regular basis. They don't need a First Amendment there at all. They have a dictatorship. And so what I'm saying to you is very important stuff. Very important, very important, very important. This ruling was a shock to the system. It was unconstitutional. It goes to the heart of everything that is wrong with our government today, everything that is wrong with the legal profession today, everything that is wrong with our family structure today, everything that is wrong with America happened in this country yesterday when four rotten, stinking activist liberal judges overrode the will of the people, even though the will of the people had been polled and they had voted upon it and the vote had passed constitutional muster on numerous analyses in order to even get on the ballot. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? They're liars. When they say to you it was unconstitutional to pass it, they're lying through their teeth. They're lying to you. No ballot can get no initiative can get on the ballot in California until and unless it passes a very rigorous series of judicial reviews. And this did pass it. And once again, another group of bandits, like traitors in the night, came and stole our democracy from us. I'm surely not the only one who knows this, but I am the only one in the major media talking about it. They are all avoiding it. They're skirting it because they've been told in no uncertain terms that these people in this community are the most vociferous in getting even, and that it is the third rail of the media. You don't touch this topic. I disagree. I think it's the most important thing to do, which is to touch topics that people tell you you can't touch, because only then can we think things through. Only then can we be protected by our own passions. And I'm warning the gay community that your passion right now is very elated. Your passions are elated because you think you won a big victory, but in fact, you may have won a small victory or no victory at all. You may have won something to the opposite, because I'm warning you that if you celebrate the rulings of four judges overriding the will of the people, 10 or 20 years from now, the exact opposite could happen. Homosexuality could be made a felony, and there could be millions of people rounded up and interned.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
We got a caller in New York. You're not going to believe this call. John, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead.
Hi, Savage. I listen to your show for years. It's actually my anniversary with your show, 3 years and counting. And I really wanted your advice. My wife is pregnant. She's going to give birth in a few months, so about 6 months, 7 months. And we're looking into natural childbirth.
Whoa, what a great question for me. You have entered the correct room for this subject, because nobody has better advice than me. Is this your first child?
This is my first child.
Okay, now just to answer some questions, I'm not going to embarrass you. How old are you and how old is your wife?
I am 34 and my wife's 30.
All right, you're in the perfect age bracket. The reason I ask is I wanted to make sure that you weren't one of the ponytailed 55-year-olds with a 20-year-old wife. That would be a different set of advice. So you're in the same birth range, and you're considering natural childbirth. It's highly advisable. You need the right people. It can be done without anesthesia, but your wife will have to take some classes. They have the Lamaze classes. They have hypnosis, which works, so that the woman can deliver a child without anesthesia, which has benefits to the child in particular. The child's not born doped up. However, the woman has to be willing to bear it. I mean, not every woman can take that kind of pain, John.
I understand, and I'm going to be there as her partner the whole way through.
Well, now, hold on now. That's where you and I are going to have a little fatherly discussion here. This is very modernistic and very new agey. In your father's generation, would your father have gone into the delivery room with your mother?
Probably not. I don't think he was allowed.
Okay. I'm from that school. I'm not into the touchy-feely being in the birth room with the mother. Men don't belong there. They have no place there. Now, I've had this discussion before, and guys get very mad at me, and I can accept that. My opinion is, now, of course, if you're a male doctor or a male nurse or a male obstetrician or a male whatever they call them, and sorry, what do they call the people who help in the birth? That's very important. I'm blanking out on it. It's been so long since I've been involved in it. But I personally don't know if you're the kind of man who's going to do very much in there. What do you intend to do while your wife is laboring?
I'm going to massage her back or just, you know.
Do you think she needs a back rub during that experience?
If you're not on an epidural and, you know, the pain can be excruciating, what we've read so far is, you know, back rubs and just support. And obviously I'm not going to deliver the kid.
Yeah, well, my advice is an Irish bar with friends and a cigar. That would be just as good for her and you, I think. Does she want you there?
Yeah.
All right, well, it's a personal decision. I personally, the first time, I don't even know where I was. I have no idea. I was glad to hear it was over. The second time, I did the modernistic one with Latin music in the delivery room. I thought I had entered some kind of cult when I went in there. You know, there were five, who was the one who gave? There was an obstetrician, all women but me. I don't want to be in that bloody mess. It was like a slaughterhouse for a guy.
A midwife, right? Is that what you're saying?
Midwife, yeah. There was a midwife, an obstetrician, this one, that one. I have five professionals I'm paying for. What am I doing there? I felt like I entered a slaughterhouse in Greenpoint. I didn't want to be there. I mean, it's not for me. I mean, I don't want to be there. Now, if you want to be there and you want to experience that and hold the baby up when it comes out, you'll never forget it as long as you live. It is a miraculous thing to see the baby come out, truthfully. When you see the eyes come out and you realize that's going to be a person for the rest of your life tormenting you and demanding things, it's quite an experience. Men are squeamish to begin with. Women are made for that. Women can handle it. And in some, if I were a woman, I want to be doped up, frankly, and forget the ohm and the hypnotism and a massage of the neck. I like them to mainline me and then wake up with the baby clean with powder on it. I wouldn't want to go through it. It's hard. A man can't handle that pain. Women, I don't know how. God bless them, how they can deal with this. I'll never understand why it's so painful. Why would? Don't get me thinking about life. I don't want to think too much about it. I did it since I'm early childhood. As I've gotten older, I've learned how not to think about it. But why would nature set it up that a woman should go into travail to deliver, to bring life forth? Why? Why must the woman be punished to have a baby? I don't understand. It should be pleasant. If you want to go the other way, I mean, it should be orgiastic. And instead, it's horrid for a woman. Pain, screaming. And well, of course, then you say, well, but then I've heard the other. Oh, in Asia, they don't scream. They're not in pain. They drop them in the rice field. Yeah, well, go. Have you been to Asia recently? Where in Asia? When was that? In the 1800s when they afraid if they screamed out that the warlord would kill them? No problem. How was it? No problem. It was great. I can continue to pick rice. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. I can continue to harvest rice, sir. She probably felt the pain, but she knew if she yelled out, they would club her to death and throw her into the fish pond. So she learned to be stoic. And then the Americans, oh, look at the Asian women, how they can, because they're so natural and they eat tofu and they drink green tea. Why, it's a natural process. They merely squat in the rice paddy, and the baby is delivered in a beautiful harmony with nature. She was screaming inside, as I said, but it was a feudal society. So she yelled out, they beat her to death, probably killed the baby. Yes, 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 sir, I can do this. It's no problem. I have a very unusual view of the world. You have to forgive me.
Savage.
Let's see, I didn't get to these stories. Young children who watch TV may face risk of attention problems. That's the way they put it out. My headline reads a little differently. My headline is this. It's a little more clear. It says TV causes ADD, the soundbite nation. No wonder your child's a moron who doesn't know what's going on. Click, 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 click. Go get him to study what an atom is, what a nucleus is.
It's too hard. I want to go on to the next channel, mommy. Can I have my cherry vanilla yogurt?
Give him Ritalin. Then when he outgrows Ritalin, put him on Prozac. And then send him off to college where he can buy crack cocaine on his own. And that way you'll know he's grown up. He no longer needs the mommy state. No, he can go out to the ghetto himself and buy that crack cocaine. It's a sign of manhood in America. Ritalin in childhood, Prozac in early adolescence, and send them out into the streets ripe and ready. And then, of course, after they go through the cocaine phase or the crank phase, send them to rehab as a young adult. It's the equivalent of a job in my generation. My generation, the people in their 20s went and got a job. Today they go to rehab. Compliments of the daddies and mommies. Larry Seltzer, you know him as Larry King. When is this guy ever going to, when is he going to ever get off the air? It's like a corpse with suspenders. He has the Osbournes on. I have a very important announcement to make. My other child's in rehab. Really? No kidding, huh? So you got another one, a junkie, huh? How'd that happen? Couldn't be related to your lifestyle, could it, huh? World-breaking news. Americans are hanging from a bridge in Fallujah. He's interviewing a degenerate junkie whose child became a degenerate junkie. Instead of interviewing a rocket scientist whose son became a rocket scientist, or a talk show host whose son has become a major producer of something great in America. So, your son became a junkie, huh? Your daughter, too. Congratulations. Welcome to the liberal establishment. Ooh. Young children who watch TV may face risk of attention problem. No kidding. It may overstimulate the brain. Throw the TV down the stairs like I did when they were kids. They told me, they reminded me, they're grown up now, but they reminded me when I came home, I used to run up the steps from the back so they wouldn't know I was coming home, and I would touch the TV to see if it was if it was hot. They said that they knew I didn't want them to watch TV when I was in there before I came home, and they would make believe they were doing their homework after they turned the TV. Hey, Dad's coming! Then they get like fake studious, and I touch the back TV to see if it was hot. Once I threw it down the steps. I remember to this day, very nice role model. Sizzle, you know, they really blow up nice when you throw them. They blow up real nice. Sizzle, crack, snapple, and pop. Like the wires came out. That didn't last too long because then I couldn't watch TV at night after they went to sleep, so I had to get it back. Now I'm hopelessly addicted. But I'm past the age of ADD. Secondly, I'm in a profession where ADD is an advantage. And thirdly, since I have two bestsellers and I wrote 18 previous books and I earned a PhD from Berkeley and two master's degrees and did a lot of other stuff that takes a lot of attention, and real attention, I figure who cares if they think I have ADD. Outsourcing, I don't care about. I'm not into it. They can't outsource talk radio. Nobody in Madras could do my job. Hello, it's a Savage Nation. They can. They couldn't even fake it with a computer. They could do it with some other talk show host. They can get a person who could imitate their voice. But luckily, I kept my New York brogue long enough to know that nobody in India could imitate me for half the price, quarter the price. They couldn't do it at all. They could never outsource the Savage Nation. Hello, you've reached Madras, the Savage Nation. Never. Could never happen. And you know, I love Indian people. They know it. They love my show. I never like Indian. They're very nice people. I never met an Indian I didn't like. I'm very serious about that. How come they come over here and in one generation they win spelling bees? Other ethnic groups come here 10 generations later. They're still living off Uncle Sam. Why is that? I think it's called brains, family pressure, something like that. And how about a several thousand-year-old culture that prizes learning?
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
A little A-train to start on the Savage Nation, the great Duke Ellington. Then we're going to go to something else and something else and something else. It is the Savage Nation. Combination doo-wop, jazz. What's the worst year of my life so far? Never thought about it that way. What's the best year of my life so far? Give me a little Mel Allen. It's a high fly ball. I want to go back to my childhood. That's it. I want to live in the past. Oh, thank you, Mel. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Walking around with a transistor radio, crew-cut haircut, a little kid with corduroy pants, innocent, no sexual feelings, nothing. All that was on my head was baseball. But now it's a different story. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? There's so many problems. Who asked for this? I should disappear into the ethers. White Hat, West Palm Beach, Jupiter. Maybe I should go to Jupiter instead of Jupiter, Florida. You know that most of America walks around like they don't even know what's going on. They don't know where Iran is. If you said Iran, Ahmadinejad, Hitler, they wouldn't know if you were talking about a baseball team or if you were talking about science fiction. They go to malls. Can you blame them? It's the way most people are, actually, when you think about it. So why can't I be like most people? Answer, because I never was. I've always had the weight of the world on my shoulders. Even when I was a little kid in the Bronx, they said, that one has the weight of his shoulders, the weight of the world on his shoulders. That one has the weight of the world on his shoulders. That one. They always said that one. Can you play See the USA in a Chevrolet with Donna? What's her name? Donna Reed. I want to hear See the USA.
See that's all. The USA in your that's Chevrolet. It. America is asking you to call.
That's when there still was a Chevrolet.
America's the greatest land of all.
And they made the, turn it off already. That's another time. You know, it's like Gillette, Friday Night Fights. Everything was different. It was a different world. So 2007 hasn't been too great for me. I wouldn't say horrible, okay? Horrible is death. Horrible is a family member dying. Horrible is a dog getting run over by your own car in the driveway. Horrible is... the doctor tells you have bowel cancer and 6 months to live. Horrible is an emergency room. So I'm not complaining, don't get me wrong. But I am in my own way. I am in my own way. Do you see the latest story out here? Bush comes up with a mortgage plan that will freeze certain subprime interest rates for 5 years. Now, on the face of it, you say, wow, how compassionate. A three-pronged solution to stem the flow of mortgage foreclosures. Now, let me ask you something. How many of these who are about to go into foreclosure are illegal aliens? Has anyone asked that question but me? Answer, no. The government, as you well know, was forcing banks to lend to people who were not only illegal aliens, but unqualified for a mortgage. And if they didn't lend, if the banks didn't lend the money to people who didn't qualify, they were going to be sued by a various divisions of the U.S. government. Now they're about to go belly up, and who's going to bail them out? The very same government that said, you must lend money to them. Now who's going to pay for the bailout? You and I. You and I. Now what about stronger lending standards? Like when I was young and I wanted to get a mortgage, I couldn't afford one. They wouldn't give me one. Why? Because I couldn't qualify. Why couldn't I qualify? I didn't have sufficient income. Therefore, I couldn't buy a house. But you see, everything's changed in the new PC America. And so you have a socialist-light government that said to banks for years, you lend money to illegal aliens or we will sue you. In fact, you can't even ask the so-called citizenship status of a potential borrower or we'll sue you for racism. So the banks were over a barrel. They said, but. The government said, we'll give it to you in the you-know-what unless you lend it to the illegal alien and unless you lend it to people who don't qualify. So now we have a so-called subprime crisis, and no one's talking about it. So Michael Savage again asks the question it's a question no one is going to ask. How many of these people in a subprime mortgage crisis are illegal aliens? How many of these people are those that banks were forced to lend to? But it doesn't stop Bush in clip 31 from telling us we have to pay for it. Listen.
Some lenders made loans that borrowers did not understand, especially in the subprime sector.
Well, hold on. Some lenders made loans that borrowers didn't understand? Is the president fooling you? What's there not to understand? Now he's taking the side of the people who they were forced to lend money to. Could you do me a favor and explain to the audience through music why I said 2000 is a very bad year? And so in order to do that, you have to play three things for me in this order. You have to play Mel Allen, you have to play Johnny Philip Morris, and then you have to come back to me with a doo-wop song. Go ahead, see if you can do that.
The drive hits the deep right field. That ball is going, it is gone.
Come in, Berlin. Secret message. Come in, Berlin. Berlin, come in. Berlin, calling Berlin. This is a secret coded message to the right wing in America. It's dip, 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 dip. If you read the first letter of each word and reverse them with lemon juice, you'll see what I'm actually saying. Come in, Berlin. Berlin, come in. Crazy leftists. They actually keep saying, turn this off. I don't go for this. I don't go for it. Now, the first mortgage that this family ever got was my father in 1954 or 5. He bought a house for $14,500 in Queens, New York. And the mortgage, you had to put down, I think, 20 or 25% at the least in those days, right? So what did he have to put down, like $3,000? It was a lot of money in those days. And then he took out a mortgage, and then he paid off the house. He had to qualify for the mortgage, and if he couldn't qualify, they wouldn't have given it to him. And he paid off the house, and that was the end of it. In those days, my father wouldn't buy a car on time because he said that was cheating. Can you imagine the thoughts of those guys in those days? A mortgage you had to pay off because who had cash to pay a whole house off? Nobody. Unless you worked for some people on a certain street that you ate spaghetti on. But the fact is, nobody really that we knew had those kind of cash in the wallpaper in Belrose, Queens. So we didn't, and you had to take a mortgage. But the fact of the matter is, a car was another story. You bought a used car and you paid cash. Why? Because if you bought it on time, you were cheating. And you couldn't really afford it, and you were a faker. That means 99.9% of the people on the road today wouldn't have a car. I mean, you got to be crazy not to pay a car off, you know?
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. You'll notice that you can contribute to the Legal Defense Fund under a new address. The mail goes to the Michael Savage, that's if a check, a money order, cash, Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom of speech. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. And God bless you for helping protect freedom of speech.
Savage. We've seen that it's possible to overcome the politics of division and the politics of distraction. That it's possible to overcome the same old negative attacks that are always about scoring points and never about solving our problems. We've seen that the American people aren't looking for more spin. They're looking for honest answers about the challenges we face. That's what you've accomplished in this campaign. And that's how, together, we intend to change this country.
Notice he doesn't say anything about what he would do. But Mike Savage knows what he'll do, or at least he suspects what he'll do. This is all hype, as you well know. He keeps saying that he's going to change things, but we don't know what he means by that, do we? Does he actually spell out what he means by change? Well, I've gone on his website, and I've also looked into the playbook of speeches he's given over the years, and I've come up with Obama's first 10 executive orders, which I've posted for you on michaelsavage.com. Now you say, well, come on, you're making it up. You don't like the guy. Well, I took it right from his own website. But that's only the beginning. If Obama, God forbid, were to foist himself on the American people because he owns the media, they cannot get enough of this man. The liberals, I'll leave it at that, the liberals, which really doesn't apply to the news. USA Today, NC win lifts Obama. Wall Street Journal, Obama wins North Carolina, remains close in Indiana. Of course, they're old line news. They didn't even have the winner there. New York Times for the Wednesday, again, out of date. Obama wins North Carolina and expands delegate edge. Indiana is close. Of course, he lost in Indiana. They cannot get enough of this man. And we know why. We understand what they are as liberals. They're guilty white liberals. And they're just in love with the man. As I said to you, if he stood for borders, language, and culture, I'd vote for him, but he doesn't. If Obama, God forbid, were to be put into the office of the presidency with all the help that he's gotten from the media, I have written out for you the first 10 executive orders that I think he will enact by executive order, I just said to you, not through legislation. In other words, a mini dictatorship. Now, the number one will be gays in the military, as sure as I'm sitting here. And the reason I say that is that although it's not an issue in the campaign, it's an issue for him. And the reason the gays have put so much money behind this man from the beginning, I know it for a fact from the Beverly Hills crowd. I know it for a fact that the big movie moguls who are gay were the first to throw tons of money at Obama, and he's going to pay them back. So number one executive order might be gays in the military. No more don't ask, don't tell, but do ask. Do tell. Number two will be homosexual marriage by fiat. There will be no vote on it because it will never pass the people. The people don't want it, and that's why the new dictator will impose it upon you. Number three will be Obama enacting stronger federal hate crimes legislation, so-called, to reinvigorate enforcement at the Department of Justice's criminal section. That came right off his website. Number four, Obama, following through on his pledge to meet with the leaders of all nations, friend or foe, signs a non-aggression pact with the Hitler of Iran, thereby becoming what I said to you he was 2 months ago, the Neville Chamberlain of our time. That's at best he's the Neville Chamberlain of our time. The number five executive order might be removing our troops from Iraq, leaving a power vacuum filled by Iran. Think about that one before you say bring them home now. Number six, Obama doubles foreign aid to $50 billion to cut poverty around the world in half by 2015. Number six, seven, eight, nine, ten, etc. I will discuss with you when I come back, but I'm not ready to take a break. I'm going to throw it to you now. You have an assignment. Your assignment is, which acts do you fear Obama will impose on America via executive order should he become the president? Many of you fear this man, and rightly so. Now, why do I say you fear him rightly so? Is it because he's of African-American and Caucasian heritage? Not at all. It's because of his voting record. He is noted to be the most liberal senator in our Congress, more so than John Kerry, certainly more so than Hillary, which is why the libs keep pushing him forward. He is not just the McGovern of our time. He's far beyond McGovern. But he's like a McGovern, for those of you who remember who McGovern was. And McGovern went down in flames. But unfortunately, we don't have a candidate on the other side to counterbalance Obama. In fact, we have an invisible Republican candidate named John McCain. He is running the worst campaign I've ever seen in my life. And I had a sneaking suspicion, by the way, today, boys and girls of the Savage Nation, that one of the reasons, just possibly now, the Dems have kept this competition between Hillary and Obama alive is to obliterate McCain completely from the media and from the public consciousness. I will venture to bet that 90% of the American people who are out there, voters and non-voters alike, do not know that John McCain exists. I will bet you that they think that this is an election between a choice between Obama and Hillary. I'll bet you that 90% of the morons in our country don't know John McCain, and number two, think it's a race between Obama and Hillary, and it'll be decided very soon. I guarantee you that the media is playing the DNC playbook, and one of the reasons they've dragged this out, think about the amount of ink that Obama and Hillary have gotten over the last year. Think about it. Schmuck McCain, the guy can't get out of the starting gate. He no one knows who he is. He's invisible. He says nothing. Now, I could help McCain win if I wanted to, but his campaign's being run by a bartender or someone who will be a bartender after McCain loses and opens up a shoe store in Siberia. The campaign manager for McCain is as stupid as the idiot who ran Giuliani's campaign over the cliff. The same moron who said, here's the middle finger to the conservative base that elected us. We're going to appeal to Hispanics on La Raza with La Raza. We're going to go to this group. Now, there's another element to McCain, which is very sad. You'll notice he walks, he gives speeches, and he looks very wooden, almost like a tin soldier. That is because his shoulders were broken. His shoulders were torn out by the sensitive, kindly captors in Vietnam. They hung him from a rafter, snapped his shoulders out, and hung him there for hours at a time. They broke the man's shoulders. If I were McCain's advisor, you know what I'd say? Take your strength, your weakness, and make it a strength. But he doesn't have an advisor. He has a moron. You get up there and you say to the crowds, don't be afraid that I may be too old. Let me deal with this. I may look 72, but inside I'm 22. Inside I'm still a Navy pilot. Flash on the screen, John McCain, Navy pilot. I may look a little wooden to you as I walk around on this stage. Well, I'm sorry for that, but you see my shoulders were broken by my Vietnamese captors. They broke my shoulders by hanging me from a rafter. Do you have any idea what kind of sympathy vote he would get from the liberals? Do you have any idea what would happen to the man at that point? See, I understand politics better than do the professional Beltway, Super Kellogg guys, the K Street people. And I'm not wed to any party. I'm an independent. I have been from day one. But to go back to Obama, Let us go back again. Obama's top 10 executive orders. I put up a few of them on michaelsavage.com. It's very original to the web world because everyone else just reporting the results. No one's reporting what this man might do to us if he became president via executive order. And so they are up there. But I'd like to ask you again, which acts do you fear Obama would impose on America via executive order?
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
People are watching this race, and they're wondering, I win, he wins, I win, he wins. It's so close, and I think that says a lot about how excited and passionate our supporters are and how intent so many Americans are to really taking their country back. But I can assure you,
taking the country back to Bill Clinton? Wait a minute. Back? What? You know, okay, I give up. Taking a country back to when? To Bill Clinton? Continue with this for a minute. Can you continue from where she stopped? I'm sorry to interrupt it with my own thinking. No, can't do it. We don't have the advanced equipment. It's all or nothing. See, although it's 2008.
I can assure you, as I have said on many occasions, that no matter what happens, I will work for the nominee of the Democratic Party because we must win.
Hey, with the wristbands, the wristband crowd. They ran away from a sex party to go, wee. They gave him a few bucks and a few ecstasy pills. Wee. All right, so far we haven't seen the election. You know, here's the part. I'm watching the returns last night like everyone, you know, who has a political orientation. It's as though the presidential election were held last night. This goes on night after night after night after night. I feel as though I'm living in ancient Rome where it's all a distraction. The whole thing's a distraction from what's really going on. The endless cycle of election is just entertainment. And the reason they're entertaining us is because they're not telling us the danger we're really in and that they've put us in. That's number one. Nor about the grotesque corruption that is occurring on both sides of the aisle. The grotesque piggishness that is occurring from both parties, feasting off our taxes. And the war has never, they've never had it so good as they have with the Iraq war, which I've told you, which is why the Democrats lied when they said we'd end the war. You put them in power, and what you got was a lie. The reason you got a lie is because they don't want it over. They just wanted a share in the pork. And now they're the biggest recipients of pork in American history. So make no mistake about it. Doesn't matter who wins. This war will go on because it's very, very good for the donors who are killing themselves to give money to either of them. Now, with regard to my suspicion that Obama will use executive orders rapidly, he'll do it very rapidly. And I'm asking you what you fear he would impose upon you as an American citizen. Again, if you think I'm making these things up that I've read to you, you're wrong. They're on his own website. Obama enacts stronger federal hate crimes legislation to reinvigorate enforcement at the Department of Justice criminal section. Now, you know what hate crimes really means, don't you? It means some Americans are more equal than others. Hate crimes legislation means that some of us are four-fifths a human. White people become four-fifths a human when federal hate crimes legislation is passed because it makes people of color more entitled to federal protection and easier for them to accuse anybody of a crime than it already is. And already right now it's out of control. I saw a show last night called Carrier on PBS, one of the PBS stations. I've been told about it over and over by friends because my own book, The Enemy Within, is seen several times being read by one of the sailors. I didn't get to watch it. So I watched it last night. It was produced by Mel Gibson. Icon Productions, and I was stunned at how incompetent and impotent the Navy has become. What you see are 17, 18-year-old kids accusing each other of sexual improprieties. I don't know where to even begin to tell you that we have almost the equivalent of a battleship Potemkin on our hands here. We have a Navy that is a gigantic force that is incapable of even shooting a rubber boat out of the Straits of Hormuz because of mountains of regulations and fear. We have a bunch of ninnies running the U.S. Navy and running the U.S. military, and the top ninny is in the White House. The ninny can only prosecute Marines who do their job. But lo and behold, if someone goes on shore leave in Hong Kong and they have a little hanky-panky on the boat on the way back, a man and a woman, they are court-martialed in the U.S. Navy, and they spend hours talking about sexual harassment aboard ship instead of how to win a naval battle. I ask you, can this country survive? If I were China looking at this, I'd be laughing. I'd be laughing at this country that has become impotent beyond belief. We've gone from an astonishingly powerful military to a nation, that a military that's been crippled from within by so many liberal forces that only a miracle could save this country. So having said that, now all we need is a super left-wing liberal candidate like Obama. And then it's over. It's the taking of Pelham 1-2-3, so to speak. But what is it that you fear? Ryan, line 7, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I believe that Barack Obama would try to pass legislation with an executive order for reparations for slavery in the form of like subsidies or tax breaks for college for African Americans.
Well, let me tell you, you're not too far from the truth, because if you go on his own website, it says he will reinforce affirmative action by funneling money, quote, to women and minority-owned businesses, close quote. So that means if you're an illegal alien from Mexico, you'll get money. If you're a woman, even if you're a rich woman, you'll get money. If you're a rich African-American, you'll get money. That is called affirmative action. Obama says, I believe in it. Good. Look at his website. And he says he'll reinforce affirmative action by funneling money, and I'm quoting now, to women and minority-owned businesses. In other words, whites need not apply. So that's a form of reparation. Absolutely. I would think he'll go a step further within a year, which would be a world tax. He will say that we need a world tax to combat world hunger, world poverty, and global warming. There might be an outright global warming surcharge on your income in order to pay for something that man has no control over whatsoever, and in order to fund the United Nations to give them even more power over the United States of America. There's a lot to fear, ladies and gentlemen. Trust me, you should be afraid. You should be very afraid indeed that the Republicans have produced a straw man who was set up for the fall, John McCain. He does not want to win. He is the fall guy.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
Very sobering experience yesterday. I mean, you look at what's going on in this country. Of course, this is a very skewed series of elections, and they want the American people to, the ignoramus out there, to think that it's an election choice between Hillary and Obama. The invisible, you know, tin man is nowhere to be seen. Think about the amount of coverage that the Democrats have garnered because of this so-called pitch battle between Hillary and Obama. Question, is it possible that it's all a scheme to have so dominated the consciousness of the American people for so long that when McCain finally does appear on the stage, he will be seen as sort of a nonentity? It's certainly possible. Of course it could be a conspiracy. Why couldn't it be? The media is far left. Both candidates are far left. One is a little more to the left than the other. And McCain is a straw man. You know that if there was really a viable younger Republican along the lines of Romney, he would win. There's no question in my mind that Romney could beat either Obama or Hillary. Now, why did Romney get knocked out of the box so quickly? And why was there a so-called polygamy scandal a few weeks ago? That was to make sure that Romney wouldn't be chosen as the running mate for McCain, because God forbid they might win. So they dug up an attack on a polygamy cult all of a sudden. Look at the timing of these things. Nothing happens by accident on these levels. Take a look at that troublemaker in New York, that street thug, Al Sharpton. A street thug, in my opinion, involved in one problem after another. The only people who kisses behind are the people on Fox News, calling him with such revered tones, Reverend, Reverend. Ask him where he went to divinity school. I'd still like to know the answer to that. Ask him if he had anything to do with Freddie's Fashion Mart fire, where seven people died in Harlem. Ask him the real question before kissing his behind. Now, why is he acting up today? Because there's a power struggle going on inside the black community in this country, in case you don't know it, between the old guard civil rights hustlers like Sharpton and a guy like Obama who really has nothing to do with that. He's so beyond the race hustling, he sees it. He sees the much bigger prize. He's much smarter than them. So why would Sharpton wait for today to tie up New York City traffic? Because he cannot stand the thought that a young man is coming along who is garnering so much attention. There's so many things here that you have to look at. But again, I'll bring it down to brass tacks. What would Obama's top 10 executive orders be? Please go to my website for the ones that we know they'll be. Why do I say I know they'll be? Because they're from his own website. They're in his own website. Obama enacts the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. What does that mean? To entrench the power of the homosexual lobby. Not only could you not fire a homosexual, you'll have to hire them even if you're a church group. Obama enacts socialized medicine, destroying small businesses with taxes to pay for illegal alien health care. Look at his website. Obama creates, quote, a fund to help people refinance their mortgages and provide comprehensive support to innocent homeowners, close quote. That's on his website. Obama follows through on his pledge to, quote, meet with the leaders of all nations, friend and foe, signs a non-aggression pact with the Hitler of Iran. Obama enacts amnesty for illegal aliens. What do you fear? What do you fear? Which acts do you fear Obama would impose on America via executive order? Sure enough, many of you understand enough about reality to know that liberals generally can't win at the ballot box. When they're put before people in general elections, they usually lose on things such as homosexual marriage. They have in 17 states. They've lost in 17 states. Wherever we throwbacks, that is those of us who throw ourselves back to borders, language and culture, family values, church, synagogue, we throwbacks, meaning the hardcore American, will never permit any of these acts to go through if we're given the option at the ballot box. So what they usually do is trick us, and they shop them to judges. Now think of this. Instead of having to shop an act or a ruling, rather, to a liberal judge, think of having the most far-left judge in the United States of America from the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiel's here in San Francisco becoming president. Think about what that would do to the country. Think what would happen if you took the most activist liberal judge in the country and put a president's hat on him. Think of what would happen to this country. You can kiss your country goodbye. You can kiss your democracy goodbye. You can kiss your republic goodbye. You can kiss your constitution goodbye. You can kiss your Bill of Rights goodbye. And if you think this is too extreme, I'm glad you do, because you've defined yourself as a follower of liberal fascism, as far as I'm concerned. What do you fear? Sacramento, Tampa, Chicago, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Cincinnati, Houston, Texas, Norfolk, Virginia, wherever the Savage Nation is heard, there are lots of people out there who want to get on this show. Go up to michaelsavage.com and see what his plans would be if he became president. He tells you he's going to bring about change, but he doesn't tell you what those changes would be. Have you noticed this? He speaks in generalized terms about restoring America, taking America back. Back where? How far back do you want to take us? How far back do you want to take us? How far back do you want to throw us, Obama, is what I'd ask him. He'll never come on the show. Of course, he'd go on the Leprechaun show because he'd never get a hard question like that. It's all part of the old government media complex now. So what do you think? Tell me what you think. I'd like to know what you think. Chicago, Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I just want to thank you for your insights. I'm trying to explain this to my kids who are 23 and 18, and they don't seem to look at the big picture. They're just looking, I don't know, maybe just for today, and it's getting very frustrating.
Right. Most young people live in the moment, and they think Obama's a swell guy because he looks like a nice guy, and he probably is a nice guy. But you got to look beyond the nice guy's smile. You got to look at his politics, his policies, what he's voted for, what he's voted against. And the most dangerous thing that I will tell you about Obama is not Obama per se, but the people that would be swept into power with him. He doesn't run a government by himself. He brings people into the government for the sake of running the government. Maybe he'd make Al Sharpton Secretary of Labor. Maybe he'd make Jesse Jackson a Supreme Court Justice. Isn't that possible?
Gary.
Sure. Sure he could. That's right. He could make any of them anything he wants. That's what the presidency is. What would you do? What could you do about it? Nothing. Cincinnati, God, we got so many wonderful callers. Let's go to Sacramento, California. Tony on KSTE. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I want to thank you for educating me. Under the Obama administration, Islam will flourish. More mosques will be built in America than churches. And every fourth grade class will be taken to a mosque or Islamic center under the guise of, social studies.
Yes. Mm. Well, to be sensitive to Islam.
Exactly. And I remember when I was a kid, I was taken to Islamic center, but I didn't realize it until now. I'm grown older. I'm like, oh, my God, they took us to an Islamic center when we were
Why would they do that in a school when there's supposed to be a separation of church and state? How'd they get away with taking you into a church? How do they do that?
It's unbelievable. I was a hardcore liberal when I was young, too, but I'm just growing and understanding. And
most children are liberal. Most children are liberal. When you become a man, you become a conservative. Liberalism is for children and perverts. Thanks for the call. You know, there's a great article by Patrick Buchanan on my website called The Way Our World Ends, which I retitled into something else. I said the white race goes out with a whimper. I figured I'd attract your attention. Because Patrick Buchanan is a brilliant man. And he did some stuff on demographics that it's worth reading to you in part. And it's tied into the election to a certain extent, and I'll tell you how when I finish it. And I'm going to read you some stuff. I want you to see where he thinks the world will be in the year 2060. Where did he get his data from? The National Policy Institute has looked at fertility rates around the world and matched it to the continents and races on planet Earth. And here's what they think the world will look like in 2060. In 1950, Africans were 9% of the world population. Did you hear that? 1950, Africans 9%, and whites 28% of world population, a ratio of 3-1, 3 whites to 1 African. In 2060, the ratio will remain the same, but the colors will be reversed. People of African ancestry will be 25% of the world's population. People of European descent will have fallen to about 10%. More arresting, he writes, is that the white population is shrinking not only in relative but in real terms. 200 million white people, one in every six on Earth, will vanish by 2060. 200 million white people, one in every six on Earth, a number equal to the entire populations of France, Britain, Holland, and Germany. 200 million white people will disappear by 2060. And he says the Caucasian race is going by the way of the Mohicans. Arabic peoples. How about our dear friends amongst the Middle East? 94 million Arabs at the birth of Israel in 1948, outnumbered 7-1 by Europeans at that time. There were 7 Europeans for 1 Arab in 1948. The Arab population will rise to 750 million in 2060, a tenfold increase, and it will at that point be 75% of the white population. Fleshing out the picture is the UN Population Survey of mid-2007 that points to the 21st century disappearance of Western man. By 2050, a fourth of all the people of Eastern Europe will have vanished. Ukraine will lose one-third of its population. Russia, 150 million at the breakup of the Soviet Union, will shrink to, and 142 million today, will be down to 108 million. Such losses dwarf what Hitler and Stalin together did to these countries. With Russians east of the Urals outnumbered 100-1 by the Chinese, there is little doubt who will control the oil, gas, gold, and timber of Siberia and be staring hungrily across the Bering Strait of Alaska. And he goes on. I don't want to read you the rest of this because it's actually frightening. And he concludes with this statement. He says, hopefully, the peoples of Asia, Africa, and the Middle East who are about to inherit the earth as we pass away will treat us better than our ancestors treated them in the 5 centuries that Western man ruled the world. Otherwise, we all go out with a bang. Now, I'll tell you right now, unless God steps in, unless we get men who have vision, unless we come to understand that we have to strike while the iron is hot and while we still have the strength to strike, I do not have to paint the picture for you of what is going to come to your descendants on this planet. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but a whimper. And, of course, Buchanan was quoting T.S. Eliot, The Hollow Men, 1925, and I'll read you the first stanza. We are the hollow men. We are the stuffed men, leaning together, headpiece filled with straw. Alas, our dried voices, when we whisper together, are quiet and meaningless, as wind in dry grass, or rat's feet over broken glass, in our dry cellar, shape without form, shade without color, paralyzed force, gesture without motion. If that doesn't sound like John McCain, I'd like to know what does. Shape without form, shade without color, paralyzed force, gesture without motion. We are the hollow men, the stuffed men. It's unbelievable to me. I mean, you look, you say, well, what's poetry? Most of it's garbage written by drug addicts who don't know what they're doing for college classes. But if you look at great poetry such as The Hollow Men by T.S. Eliot, and I just call, you understand that there is meaning to the word great and the word poem. Of course, not necessarily today. Again, please go back to the website, michaelsavage.com. And I bring you back to it. Not so much to sell you on anything. Trust me, it's because there are things on there that I can't get to during the show. I touch on them, but many of you want to go a little deeper. You want to go behind the headlines. You want to learn. Top left, Obama's first 10 executive orders, ? And these quotes, by the way, are from Obama's own website. I didn't add the ones that I tell you I know he's going to do if, God forbid, he foists himself upon the scene because of the hollow men on the Republican side. The number one, I guarantee you, act that he will push forward to pay back the boys from L.A. is gays in the military and homosexual marriage. I can almost guarantee it. Now, if you don't care about that, that's your problem, not mine. But if you think that homosexual marriage is going to be healthy for America, if you think that the low birth rate, the destruction of marriage, which are already two great problems, will be helped by homosexuals mocking marriage, then you're insane. It will further destroy the sanctity of marriage and family. It will further confuse our children. It will further encourage them not to get married and have children. It will further encourage them to live like the gays live. I mean, that's the reality of it. You know it and I know it. I have no other words for it. And that's why I oppose it. It's not a personal thing with me. It's a survival thing for the nation. It doesn't affect me personally. I could care less. It affects the nation. It's about the health of the nation. Anyone who has a brain understands you have to think about the nation, not your own personal needs. After all, it was a Democrat, a great Democrat, who said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Well, if you think that homosexual marriage is doing something good for the country, then you ought to have your head examined instead of examining mine. WOR, New York City. Mark, what is it that you fear Obama would enact if he won? Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, Mike. I'm going to use an analogy Alan Bloom made in the 80s. I'm going back to France in the 30s. They showed films of the French enjoying the government's free vacation that the government gave them in 1936. It was the same year the Nazis were allowed to occupy the Rhineland.
Mark, you're throwing me off. What do you fear the most in a couple of sentences that Obama would enact?
Like ancient Rome, they're saying, oh, pleasure, enjoy, have fun. And in the meantime, the enemy's at the gate. And instead of...
Whoa. But what act is it? What political act do you think he would enact?
Well,
bingo, out of business. Okay, call screener. Ask them to focus their thinking. If Obama became president, what executive order do you fear? Make it simple and pointed. My listeners are busy people. They're trying to avoid the blockage of various roads in New York City because of a rabble-rouser with a bullhorn who was jealous of Obama. And those in New York would like to learn something and listen to the Savage Nation rather than just sitting there, idly listening to people ramble. Okay, so Tampa, Florida. Fred, go ahead, please. Welcome. What's on your mind?
Yes, I think if Obama won, basically that we could see basically hate speech legislation on steroids passed, and also maybe...
I am glad you recognize that Obama would eliminate talk radio faster than would John McCain. Now, I say that pointedly because the Republicans want talk radio ended as well. They'll say, we're not against free speech, we're against hate speech that disturbs the average person, which, of course, is fascism. You understand that. Who is going to determine what hate speech is? I mean, what is hate speech?
The
First Amendment was written to protect disturbing speech. It was written to protect speech that makes you uncomfortable. It was not written to protect polite speech. But I agree with you. Obama would eliminate talk radio as quickly as possible under the Freedom from Hate Act. Thank you. And, of course, then it would apply to you as well. Whereas if you actually said anything that you meant about people or situations, you might go to jail. Well, certainly re-education. You wouldn't be put in prison, but you'd be re-educated. Perhaps a 30-day stint in the country doing the jobs that no Americans want to do. I know it sounds crazy. Many of you are so brainwashed, you can't even believe that what I'm telling you could happen. Many of you are so brainwashed from your years in colleges. Many of you are so brainwashed from the rot that passes for journalism today. Many of you are so brainwashed by sports and the internet and God knows what that you don't even understand the danger you're in, not only from Obama and that faction of the far left, but from the world at large. You have no idea what world you're living in. You haven't any idea, most of you, none whatsoever. But when I come back, I'm going to continue to ask these questions. Obama's top 10 executive orders, what do you fear they would be? There are others. There are other topics out there. Trust me, there are many other topics out there. By the way, remember I told you the story the other day about the girl, the young girl whose brother died in their arms as she was being shipped off to the death camps. And her brother died, so she knew she was going to die, and she threw herself out of a moving train, the cattle car, fell in the snow. The German shot her. She was helped by a Christian Polish family, brought restored her to health. It has no direct relationship to what I'm telling you, but in some ways it may. What if there was a China takeover of the world? Tell me what you think would happen by the year 2060 if China took over the world. Do you think there might be a fault line based upon race? Or do you think there would be a fault line based upon thought? Or do you think there would be fault lines based upon race and thought? And do you think there'd be a United States of America when we have straw men running everything?
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage.